So I'm going to try not to be too long today. I cut this thing in half. So I'm going to try to not be too long. I was really debating on what to do today because, you know, the scripture says when we gather together, everyone has, right? It means you have something to contribute to the service today. And I was thinking maybe I just will draw from all of you on all these things and we can hodgepodge this and see what the Lord's doing. But then I was compelled with what's going on in the world and how I'm supposed to see it and how I'm supposed to filter all the news and negativity and despair and all these things. You don't hear a lot of uplifting things. And there's this process called transformation, and this renewal of our mind. So I've been weighing that, and I thought, so what do I do? So about, 10 o'clock last night, I decided to go this route. So we're going to talk about a new way of thinking, okay? And I'm going to try to be brief, but I think it's really important that we realize the series we've been going through, which is a kingdom series, but it's to bring us into a greater revelation of what we've been born into and how we're supposed to live. You're a new creation, okay? Brand new, the old's gone, the new's here. What's that mean for you? What's that mean for us? How are we supposed to go through this thing called life together? So I want to talk a little bit about a new way of thinking. 1 Corinthians 13:11. Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you open up your word to us, that we see it through your eyes, we get a new revelation, that somehow you speak to us so that we hear and we're impacted to grow further and farther with you. We just ask that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done in each and every life, not only individually, but us together. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. Just take my word for that. So there comes a point in our walk that we need to realize we're no longer children. And we need to quit acting like it. Okay? I think so many have struggled. I think the church as a whole has struggled because we've acted like children for far too long. And that's really not an indictment. It's just a realization of who we are in Christ. And there's principles of how we behave before that just need to get put aside, and we need to move into Christian adulthood and advance the kingdom of God. Okay? It takes a new way of thinking. If I continue to think in the ways I thought as a child, I will never advance as an adult. Okay, Ephesians 4:17 says, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. See, there's a new way of thinking. You know, there's a song, I've Got a New Attitude. You know, you should sing it and play it, right? I've got a new attitude. It's really upbeat song. It's pretty cool. You know, that's really how we should be, with that attitude. You know, he not only gave us a new way of thinking, he gave us a new attitude in our thinking. So therefore, we have something to present that's different than what they've seen, not only out there, but also in here, towards one another. You remember, we're in this process of looking at kingdom relationships. And not only how we see each other, but how we treat each other. And today we're talking about how we think about each other. We need a new way of thinking. So what do we really need? Here's a point. If you want to write anything down, John, I'll quiz you later. We need the thoughts of heaven. Right? Pretty simple thought, right? Isaiah 55:8. And here's why. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. That says a lot right there. Neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I don't even think I need to expound on that. You know, if we approach everything the way we used to approach everything, we're probably not approaching everything the way God intends for us to approach everything. Amen. Much better off approaching things the way God intends for us to approach them. Right? It's a new way of thinking. We need the thoughts of heaven. Okay? Simple point. Another point. Even Jesus required the Father's thoughts. John 5:19. Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. You know, I think it's funny with my, actually both grandsons now. You know, it doesn't matter what you're doing. They want to do it with you. Whatever they see you doing, they want to do with you. In fact, was Jesus set an example for us that we should be looking for what Holy Spirit's doing. What is Holy Spirit thinking? What is his perspective so we know what to do in every given situation? Right? Jesus required the Father's thoughts. So thoughts are real, and thoughts have transformational power. And I want to say that again so you get the importance of it. Thinking's real. You think. Okay? Even when you don't think you're thinking about not thinking. So you're thinking. So I think. But there's power in it. And Scripture shows its power. One of the verses, Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so he is. Different versions say different things, but Matthew 8:13 says, as thou hast believed, so it is done unto thee. See, this is a pretty powerful thing. So as I think in my heart, so I am. There's power in that. If you think you're a loser, you're going to act like a loser. Think you're a winner, you're going to act like a winner. Think you're really good at something, you're going to act like you're really good at it. One of the most frustrating things I ever had in life, right? go back to my teenage days. We used to play a lot of basketball and stuff here. And different ones would come and we'd play. And the ones that thought they were good and they weren't good, right, drove me nuts because they thought they were good. So they like tried really hard because they thought they were good. But it was just like annoying because they weren't good. You don't understand my point, do you? Have you ever played against somebody that's really not good, but then they're all in your business because they think they're good? They're talking trash, they're doing all these things, and you're like, you know, I could like swat you, don't you understand? You think something, you're going to act something, if you really think it. It's important that we have a new way of thinking. So we act like we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and we do have something to offer the world. Bob Hazlitt suggests a few things, not saying this is an all-exhaustive list, of where thoughts come from. One, the atmosphere or environment. Example, you ever like walked into a store and they're playing some song that caught your attention and you find out throughout the rest of the day you're singing some song that was never on your mind until you walked into the store?
Yeah.
Right? Your thinking starts processing something just because the environment that you're in. Another, the accuser. Revelation 12:10 says he is before God accusing day and night. Just like I said before, example. You know, you're no good at that. You can't do that. So then you never utilize the giftings God gave you because you've convinced yourself that you're not able to do it, right? Just little half-truths that we make as gospel, and all of a sudden we're walking falsely because of false pretenses that have been planted in our mind that we've reasoned through and agreed with, right? Adversity creates thoughts, right? I watched my daughter, they got a puppy, or my granddaughter, they got a puppy. My daughter got the puppy, and she's like petrified of this. And, you know, I can remember one time and we were watching or taking care of my cousin's dogs, right? St. Bernard's. So when they like stood up, I was just high. They were big dogs, right? And so I walked into the cage to feed them, and for some reason they thought I was the food. So they came and, you know, chomped on me and stuff. So, you know, that experience, that adversity could, if you allow it, create fear in you that forever you'll never walk in a cage that has dogs in it because of that experience, right? So many things in life we no longer do because of fear or adversity, something that challenged us that had a negative effect, and now we think and all of a sudden we have a phobia about it. Oh, I heard this person died of that. I can never have that again. Now I approach vegetables that way. Just have a phobia about them, right? So adversity can shape our thoughts, but the one that should shape our thoughts is heaven, right? If I've been born of heaven, if I'm of the kingdom of heaven, my thoughts should come from the environment of heaven, you know? What's the culture like? What does the king really think? What is the perspective that I should see if I'm seeing through his eyes? So just some of the ways that thoughts are shaped. Deuteronomy 8:3, he humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And Matthew 16:17, Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. See, we need to see, we need to hear, we need to know the perspective of heaven so we can have the thoughts of heaven in every circumstance, and then the things going on in the world will take a totally different view to us. Our thoughts will change. Is it really a problem that gas has gone from $1.99 to over $5 when you realize that provision is God's responsibility for you? I mean, the fact is, it's his job as father to care for you. It's his responsibility to provide for you. Matter, it's to his glory that he provides to you well. So you have somebody to go to that you can rest in, right? When we see all this trouble, that you don't have to be troubled if we're thinking properly. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't let us go through some adversity, but it's usually to our good, so we grow in our knowledge of him, in his ways, in the fact that we can trust in him. See, matter of fact, one of my prayers has always been, don't let me go through this stuff to have to do it. You know, I want to just trust that you're a healer without ever being sick. Right? I want to trust that you're a provider without ever having a need. I don't want to experience some of the adversities of life to begin even to trust him in those situations. I want to just trust him. But the truth is, in heaven, you don't have any of those situations, so we can trust him. He has a really good kingdom. So, a couple points and I'm done. Then we're going to have communion. So, we need heaven to be the source of our thoughts. So there's four things I want us to realize or to know. One is, we need to know God. You say, yeah, duh. No, you need to know God. John 10:14 says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. You know, a lot of times we put on our childish way of thinking and we act like we don't know him. And we take on all these burdens that we're not supposed to bear ourselves. You know, you can cast your burdens towards him. He can carry the load. We need to know God. John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. See, we walk through challenges in life sometimes because we really don't realize we know God. Well, I need to hear God. No, my sheep hear my voice. Well, I must not be a sheep. What are you talking about? He says he knows you and you know him and you follow him. Cast that thought aside. Why? Because it doesn't line up with what heaven is speaking. You need to know God. Ephesians 1:17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. What has he given you? Holy Spirit within you. Why? So you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints and in his incomparably great power for us who believe. We need to know God. Two, we need to know ourselves. What do I mean by that? Well, I'm who I see in the mirror. Not necessarily. What I mean by that is, you need to know how God sees you. You need to understand how he sees you. Your thoughts towards yourself need to be his thoughts that are towards you. 2 Corinthians 5:13. If we are out of our mind, which you all are, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, which you all are, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. That's a really powerful statement if you catch it. So what point of view do you regard people, including yourself, if it's not a worldly point of view? God's point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Some of us need to look in the mirror and see what new has come instead of always dragging up the old. You need to know yourself, how God sees you. We need to know life. Again, all this is under, we need heaven to be the source of our thoughts. Know God, know yourself, know life. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." You know, other versions say, "and have it abundantly." It's interesting to me that we accept this temporal, meager existence once we've been born into the kingdom of God, when he has now made us an eternal being with him. And I felt guilty of that all the time. But he came so that you might have life, right? He conquered the laws of sin and death. So therefore, death has no power over me. Sin has no power over me, right? We need to live in eternal life. We need to live with the perspective of eternal life. We need to understand that the circumstances of this temporal life, if applied properly, will only grow us closer to him who we'll be with for eternity. You know, there's that song that says, "You can't touch us," right? You're really untouchable. This world has no hold on you. There is no need that you could possibly ever have that he cannot supply. It says he will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. It is inexhaustible. You need to know life. Why? So you can live life. Why? So they can see life. Last point under this, you need to know heaven. 1 Corinthians 2:9. "However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." Okay, now that pretty much encompasses us, right? Eye, ear, mind. We can't even, it's too much for us. Your wildest dreams don't come close to understanding what God has prepared for you. Okay? And there's some wild dreamers out there. See, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. We need to know heaven. And who do we look to? That which he's placed within us, his Holy Spirit. Right? We need to know God. We need to know ourselves. We need to know life. We need to know heaven. Matthew 13:16 says, "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." So what's he saying? He's given you spiritual eyes and he's given you spiritual ears. Why? So you can see and you can hear the things of eternity. So what's all this mean? And I'm getting close to being done. So you guys can stand. We're going to have communion in a little bit. What's all this mean? Okay, now I have the mind of Christ. I understand heaven. I know all this stuff. You didn't tell me one thing but other than how to think. Well, you can be the statue, right? And spend all your time thinking. There has to be an application, right? Now, I'll leave you with one. There's plenty. I'll leave you with one. When we really think properly, we draw near to God. We press into Him. Why? Just like a child that wants to do whatever daddy's doing. We press into Him. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews 9:11 says it this way: when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, He went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. That is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but He entered the most holy place once for all by His own blood. Having obtained eternal redemption, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean, sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more than will the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? These two passages are a perfect scripture for understanding what we were just talking about. What are you saying? To moving you into a new way of thinking. Why? Because of what He's done, because what I've been born into, I can now approach God, walk boldly before His throne with no conscience of the old self because it no longer exists. But I stand new in His presence. And who does He see? He sees His Son. The blood of Jesus has made you clean. Act clean. Have the mind of Christ. Why? Because He's given you the mind of Christ. Put off the old things. Put on the new. Have the thoughts of heaven. And you'll change the world. The world won't change you. So let's come and have communion together.
I've got a little story to tell you from our trip. We were on our 50-year wedding anniversary trip, and one of the events that took place is that they were providing us for a breakfast and a dinner at this campground where we were going to go on a moose tour. We're going to look for moose. And what came from this is there was only two of us that they were feeding. So we would get these young men come on in to feed us either breakfast or dinner. And so in the midst of that, if it's just them, we start to talking, and I'll always, you know, they're bringing out food, and I'd mention things about the Lord and everything. And this young man said to me, I'm just not into religion. Okay. So we finished our meal, and Nat went off to head back to our cabin. And as I'm leaving, the Lord said, "Don't let it stand." And I knew exactly what he was saying because he knows me really well. So I went and I found the guy in the kitchen, and I said, "Can I talk to you for a minute? You said that you're not really into religion." And what came out of me then was the word of the Lord that he had for this young man. It's never been about religion. The Father sent his Son so that you might have a relationship with him, not a religion. He didn't send his Son to start a religion. He sent his Son so that you might have a relationship with the Father, the creator of everything. Don't get stuck with that. God has so much more. And then he went on and on and on. The point of the story is, listen to the voice. I know all this stuff. I've studied scriptures well. That's really great. But those things that God has invested in my mind, he's invested there for me to bring up as he says, go, that one. Go say this. Go do that. Those opportunities are every day. Now, with that, I got back to the cabin, and my wife said, "Oh, I know what you were doing. I was praying for you." So that became the us. So you may step out in a direction, but there's an us involved in here that they're probably praying for you for that adventure. Briley made it clear. God isn't dragging us into the kingdom. He says, "Here's my kingdom. Let's go." That's your choice. That's why we're united in communion.
All right. I want you to really try to have heaven's thoughts towards this. And then I want you to try throughout this week to really have eyes towards each other and whomever you encounter through the eyes of heaven. Think differently. See differently. See through his eyes. You know, and you'll do things like that. You know, you'll be that hand extended. You'll be the help in the time of need. That's what he's done for us. So for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's see. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink. Heavenly Father, I want us to do more than remember. I want us to know you. And in knowing you, we come to know ourselves. We see ourselves through your eyes. Father, and I want to extend that so I can see others through your eyes. Lord, because you have a plan and you have a purpose for all of your creation. Those that know you and those that are waiting to be introduced to you. Father, let us know the life that you purchased for us. And let us know the thoughts of heaven so your kingdom can come, your will can be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Father, I bless your people. I bless us with your mind. You've given us your mind. Help us to function therein. We thank you for it. Father, may something we do this week bring you glory so there's a testimony on everybody's lips next week. I thank you for that. I thank you for it, Lord, because you're always active in our lives. We bless you, we praise you, we worship you. Bless your people as they go. In Jesus' name, amen.